Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning, everyone. It is an overcast Saturday, but we're here and everything is peachy keen with us at 412-928-9370. That's the number to call. It's also the number of the Fan text line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter. If you'd like to get on Twitter, you can hook the fan up. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Our show is brought to you by Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with expressway cochrane.com. Yeah, you'll get some great buys and ride in style with Number One Cochrane. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. All thank you very much for participating in the program. Weather coming up at the end of the hour. Nathan Haluschek is behind the glass taking your calls at 412-928-9370. Well, it's a busy weekend. If you like college basketball and if you are a big believer that Pitt got screwed, you have a lot of ammunition because the ACC has three teams in the Elite Eight. Now, a lot of people talked about the Mountain West Conference coming in, like, oh, these guys are really good. You know, matchup styles will determine who's really good, and that's what we're seeing here. The ACC is 11-2 so far in this tournament. The Mountain West is 4-6. The ACC has three teams in the Elite Eight. The Mountain West has zero. I heard that argument a lot, and while we never see these teams play, a lot can be made by just looking at resumes, but then again, a lot can't be made. When you go with better competition, what is it like? So the ACC has put up a nice little battle here with three in the Elite Eight, including Clemson, a team which is playing very well. And then you have NC State, who saw that happening. Although I got to tell you, NC State has been on a roll. There's no question, and it looked like their season might be over, say, 3 weeks ago. They were trailing Louisville, which is a bad team at the time, and they have since then not done anything but win, win, win. They came back, won that game, and now they, you know, go on through the ACC tournament. They beat North Carolina. They beat Duke. Duke will get a chance to play NC State again now in one of these Elite Eight matchups. And NC State, we saw him in Pittsburgh here, DJ Burns, everything goes through him. And last night I thought, you know, Marquette did a pretty good job of trying to take him away. They doubled down. They put guys around him. But, boy, his passing skills are better than most. And he opened up the game for other people. And other people took advantage of that for NC State. So that'll be an interesting matchup, too. Anyway, Pitt should have gotten in based on that. Of these three elite teams, Pitt won three games. They won at Duke. They beat NC State twice. And they were left out of this in favor of Virginia, which turned out to be a real mistake. That was the team Pitt should have been in for. In fact, Pitt should have been even without that play-in opportunity. They didn't need that. But, you know, what are you going to do? It is what it is. Drew Joyce is the new head coach of Duquesne. That's not a surprise. He was a big favorite and on the staff of Keith Dambrot. And after they were eliminated, it didn't take long. And, of course, the news came from LeBron James, which you would think would help NIL money for sure. The man's a billionaire, and if he can help Drew Joyce's former teammate from long ago, he may very well do that. I know Donnie Football, a.k.a. Donnie Baseball, was talking baseball in Buckle. He's got to change the name, don't you think, Nate, for this show here? I know that's Don Mattingly's handle.
At least for 2 hours on a weekend.
At least for 2 hours. I mean, Donnie Football, that's great, but you're talking baseball, and he does a really good job with the program as well. So you got a lot of insight in that game. How about the Pirates? Pirates are in a situation where they've won their first two games, first time since 2018. And while I do not want to elaborate more than that, there are some good signs. I think we saw coming into this that, you know, they were a team that had a very solid bullpen. And what have we seen so far? The bullpen has been terrific. 10 innings, no runs allowed by the bullpen. 2 hits, I believe, if I'm looking at this correctly, and trying to add up. And yesterday, we have one of the great names in sports who got the win. And when you think of guys who have names like Ryder Ryan, like that's a sports name, right, Nate? Ryder Ryan.
It doesn't sound like a scientist's name.
No, it sounds like a sports name. And he got his first win. He looked very good. He made this team. He's not a young guy. He's 28. He's been around. But, you know, sometimes it takes just the perfect opportunity to get the most out of your game. And, you know, it's one win. It's one opportunity. But he got a win. How about that? And Jose Hernandez, in the first game of the year, got his first ever save on a situation where you never would have thought it got to that. If I looked at the basic numbers, this is why sports is great, because you can never come to conclusions, which is why also why I'm completely out of my bracket pool, because I just have no idea. You know, I look at stats. I shouldn't look at stats. I should just make gut feelings. Anyway, the Pirate bullpen, as I said, has been great, but that first game when they won in 12 innings, 6-5, It went against everything you would have thought for the Pirates. Everything. They were only 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. That's it for the entire game. 2-for-17. If I had told you that they would leave 13 guys on base, that they would strike out 17 times, you would have thought there's no way they win that game. But somehow they won that game. They got some long ball activity, and I think they're going to have more home runs than people probably give them credit for. They got a team that can strike it, and Brian Hayes is going to be a big key to that. He's off to a 4-for-7 start. But again, keep it all in perspective. It's two games. They started 20-8 last year and then immediately went 56-78. So it's a long season, that's for sure. It's a very interesting day for the Pirates, because you'll hear this game today at 4 o'clock here on The Fan, preceded by Dan Zangrilli with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. But Jared Jones will be pitching for the Pirates. He's a 22-year-old who made this team. Again, just it made it impossible for them to send him down. So he's going to get the start. He has 100-mile-an-hour velocity in that arm of his, and he's pretty good locator of his pitches from what I've seen in spring training. Now, will that translate into regular season? We'll find out. But also opposite that is Paul Skenes making the start at AAA Indianapolis. I think we all know what Paul Skenes is. I think we also know how the Pirates are playing their hand here. You can argue he should have been up now if you believe that they are a contending team. I don't yet, but I think they're making progress that way. Wyatt Langford was the 4th overall pick in the same draft, and he's in Texas's lineup. They just won a world championship, and you know they're not wasting time with him. He's ready. They're putting him in the lineup. I remember Wyatt Langford was a guy that a lot of people thought the Pirates might go to if they wanted to not take a pitcher. But anyway, Skenes, it'll be interesting to see how both go. Skenes down there, Jared Jones up here. But the Pirates have gotten some good hitting, and last night it was a combination of Martin Perez, who's a veteran starter, and you saw, you know, how he works himself. He got the 4-plus innings, did a good job, but then the bullpen came in, and like I said, Ryder Ryan and Josh Fleming, another guy they acquired from Tampa Bay who's been a starter down there, he came in and closed out the game to get his first save, or second save, I think it is. I'm not sure how many. I think it's 2 for him. Anyway, we'll get into that as well. We're closing in on the NFL draft. There's mock drafts left and right. You can believe what you want to believe. We'll see how it goes for the Steelers, who have been very, you know, interesting in how they've handled this offseason. And they've gone against what they've publicly said at times. But you got to give them credit for doing something outside the box for them. They wanted to make a deal. They wanted to get better at quarterback. And their whole plan was to get rid of 3 quarterbacks and bring 2 new ones in. I think it evolved that way. You know, maybe they wanted Kenny Pickett to hang around and bring in. They said they're going to bring in competition. Well, the competition was Russell Wilson. And for whatever reason, everything changed. And whether it was Pickett, according to Mike Tomlin, it was Pickett, who said, I don't want to be here then, if that's the case. I would have thought Pickett would have doubled down. I'm better. I'm going to play. I'm going to work myself into that role. You're not going to just knock me out, you know. But He chose the other. Now he's in Philadelphia, where I don't know if his chances are any better of playing at all. He is the backup, and unless there's an injury, he won't play. I can't see anything other than that picking an opportunity in Philadelphia. We'll see. But there's a lot going on here. They've also been in the market for a quarterback in the draft, and I see that Michael Penix is coming in for an interview or a meeting. Normally, they don't waste time with a whole bunch of these interviews if they don't think seriously about drafting guys. So I would imagine that if he's around at some point, I wonder how high it is that he'll be, taken in the draft, because it won't be in the first round. The first round has a lot of quarterbacks in it. You know about Caleb Williams. He should be first overall, although I'm not going to say that's a slam dunk either. Jaden Daniels is a Heisman winner, and he's a really talented guy. Drake May's very talented. And what I keep seeing is J.J. McCarthy's moving right up the draft boards. He had a wonderful pro day. Everyone raved about it. And you're shaking your head here, Nate. A lot of people would shake their heads with you. Why don't you give him the respect he deserves? They won a national championship.
Because his team didn't trust him to throw the ball. You look at last year, how many times in the second half of games he wasn't throwing the ball.
He didn't have to throw. Although I will tell you this, when he did have to throw the ball, the numbers, you can argue some good, some bad. They didn't have to. They had a wonderful run game that they relied upon. They play Big Ten football. That's the way they play it. They don't need him to throw it.
I saw a stat, and I don't know it specifically, so I'm not going to say it on the air, but there was a stat essentially that had how many passes he had thrown while his team was either tied or losing, and I believe it's under 40.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, sometimes guys...
He's unproven, that's all. He has the body of an NFL guy.
He does, and he looked... he's a winner. You can say that about him, right? I mean...
He was able to keep the train on the tracks for Michigan, that's for sure.
He was able to do that, yes. So we'll find out about those four quarterbacks, and if anybody else gets on there, my belief is the Steelers are going to go offensive line in the first round. They have to. They need help at center. They need help at tackle. They need depth. They need everything there. So you can bring in all the quarterbacks you want, but you better have better offensive line play, especially with a run game that's going to be first and foremost in how they attack. Still no word on Najee Harris and whether or not they're going to pick up the fifth-year option. I believe they will, but it's just taking some time. It's not that big of a sum of money here. They got two quarterbacks for dirt cheap at this point, so they do have money to spend. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Pete in the South Hills, who's kicking us off here this morning. Hello, Pete. How are you?
Hey, Bob. I'm doing well. Thanks so much. I wanted to talk quickly about the Pirates. Obviously a pretty good start this year. The only kind of pessimistic side of me thinks that they did not have a lot of power last year. That hasn't hurt them, obviously, in the beginning two games, but it's a long season, like you mentioned. It's just interesting because last year they're in the bottom 10 in batting average, bottom 10 in home runs. So I really wanted them to go out and get a guy that could be that power bat, a guy like a Rhys Hoskins or somebody like that that can, make sure that offense continues to flow through, because I like the talent that they have. I like the young guys that they have, but you're putting a lot of stock in the what ifs of your, farm system, your developmental guys. So that's my biggest problem. And also, just obviously, unless Paul Skenes comes up and is lights out, I don't know if they have a starting pitcher that can stop the bleeding when the Pirates inevitably go on this 4, 5, 6 game losing streaks like they typically do in the middle of the summer. So aside from those two things, I like what they have so far. It's just, I wanted them to do a little bit more in the offseason. Unfortunately, they didn't.
No, you talk about hitting, Pete. I would rather them – I wanted to see some more starting pitching coming in for the reasons you just cited. They need help in that department. So you're relying on a lot of guys. And they have some very talented arms in their system. I'm not going to discount that for those guys developing, like Jared Jones. I don't think people thought Jared Jones was going to have a spot in this rotation. If he should blossom quickly right before our eyes – that's a great thing. If you have him, Skenes, and if Skenes is what he is, and Keller being what he is, but you still need more. And I thought they should have done that. I do think it's their power numbers will be up just by having Cruz healthy. I think you saw the power the other day when he went the opposite field. It looked like off the bat, end of the bat to me, and he smacked at the left field. And I think Hayes is going to show you, I hope he does anyway, that the second half of the season was what he's evolved into, which is a 300 hitter who can hit 20 home runs. So.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, when you talk about the starting pitching, they have those young arms down, whether it's a Quinn Priester who could potentially come back up, after a pretty rough, 2023 campaign when he got called up to the big leagues. That's a guy, again, a third, fourth starter on your rotation that you're just very unsure about. And that's That's kind of the feeling that I have with a lot of their bullpen, well, not their bullpen, excuse me, their, a lot of their starting pitching is, you know, even Keller, the first game, did not look great. You know, the bullpen's always, I think, in my opinion, going to be there with the depth that they have, even though they have a few injuries, shipping out Brubaker and things like that. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to that starting pitching and not just giving you five innings of 3-4-run ball, but those guys that can not tax out the bullpen, not have to go five innings each right. game, but can potentially go 6 or 7 innings.
Well, they're hoping guys like Martin Perez and Marco Gonzalez can do that. Thanks, Pete, for the call. Appreciate that. Did you know the Pirates have turned 7 double plays in 2 games? That is the most the Pirates as a franchise have done to start a season in over 100 years. And the last team to do that in the National League was the Mets in 2007. So they've been good about cleaning things up when things got messy, especially in that first game when you had all these extra inning situations. They've got out of some messes. Now, one of the things I don't like is you're still seeing base running blunders. Last night, Cruz got thrown out at third. No reason to even go tag up from second to third on a fly to left. They weren't going to get the guy coming home. You knew that throw was coming to the third. That was a bonehead play, and I assume it was him, not third base coach. So they still have those kinds of things to worry about. But, man, again, as I go to break here, this bullpen has been really good in 2 games. We expect them to be strong, and they're without 3 of their best bullpen arms, and David Bednar, who's still not well for whatever reason, and then you have Colin Majinski. You hope he's okay because he's a good young hard throwing guy, and Colin Holderman. Those guys are all out, and yet this bullpen has done a pretty good job. All right, we got Jim, we got Mark, we got Brad, we got more calls on the way. It's 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your bag, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. And number one, Cochrane. Go over to one of their 19 different dealerships, 24-7 with expressway.cochrane.com. Want to tell you about 93.7 The Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. Parents and coaches, send an email. All you have to do is youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 93.7 The Fan may surprise you and make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Lots going on today. We're talking about the NCAA tournament. The Pittsburgh Pirates started 2-0. Should also add the Penguins are in Columbus tonight. Now, they're kind of, you know, some people want to keep saying they're alive. Okay, they're alive. They have 10 games left, but they're 8 make that 7 points behind the Capitals for the second wild card. So you'd have to go 10-0. The Flyers are 10 points ahead of them for third in the division. I don't see that changing unless the Penguins go extremely hot and other teams give back. It's too much to ask for, which is why you're seeing some more younger players in their lineup, and I'm glad to see that. Alex Nylander is a guy who's playing for Columbus, and so far in 15 games has 8 goals for them. I don't know if that's just because he gets more opportunity and they have spots to fill. You know, they made that trade, and Nylander was up here. I always liked potential game that he had, although he was a draft pick a long time ago. So it's taken him a while to find his footing, and good for him. He has an opportunity in Columbus. Let's go back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have Jim who joins us on line one. What's up, Jim? How are you?
I'm better than I deserve. I'm skeptical about the Steelers quarterback situation for this reason. I don't believe Pickett was given much of an opportunity. If you go back 6, 7, 8 years before Ben Roethlisberger retired, he was a Hall of Fame quarterback, and under Mike Tomlin and the Rooney family, they went nowhere. They got nothing. They can't even win a playoff game. So they brought in an old quarterback and a young quarterback, and it's up for grabs, I guess, but I don't see any change in the Steelers' ability to win any football games under Mike Tomlin.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, Jim. Thanks for the call. How that goes. I don't know about Kenny Pickett. He had 25 games to show his medal, and I expected to see more from him. That doesn't mean he can't at some point get the opportunity and run with it. They expected that sooner. I also expected them to bring him back. I did. I thought for sure they would do that. Once they made it clear that Mason Rudolph was out there, they said they wanted to bring him back, but they really didn't extend an offer. He ended up taking, and he has an actual better situation, I think, Nathan, down in Tennessee than Kenny Pickett has in Philadelphia, right? And when you look at it, I think he can beat Will Levis out straight up from training camp.
Yeah, one guy's a first-round draft pick. The other guy's been to a Super Bowl, and I think that obviously, I'd much rather be in Tennessee where you have a chance to play, whereas Hurts is the unquestioned starter.
Yeah, he's been injured a few times, so he may get his opportunity that way. But it's not, if it does happen, he won't be. I don't care how well he plays; they're not going to defer to him and bench Hurts after all the money they gave him. They just won't do it. So the situation for Mason Rudolph is better. But yeah, I thought once Russell Wilson came in that he and Kenny would go at it, and it went the other direction. I'm not sure who, you know, how it all went out behind closed doors. But Mike Tomlin said he expressed to them a desire to be traded. So apparently they gave him options, New Orleans and Philly, and he took the Philly one close to home. Mark joins us right now in Fort Lauderdale. Mark, thank you for calling the Bob Pompeiani Show on this dreary Saturday, although I sense it. Have you had a Ron Cook sighting down there anywhere in Florida? He's traveling all over the place.
I was looking for Ron when I was over at the Twins Pirates game this spring, but I didn't see him. But today's weather is beautiful here. We're getting ready for baseball. I had the roof open last night at Marlins Park, about 80 degrees, Windex blue sky, very little humidity. You're just like you're having the bird when I come up there this summer.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask you, talk to you about Bucco baseball. I told you last year I thought Ben Charrington had this farm system in tremendous shape, and I continue to believe that. And I think I like the plan that he has of bringing Marco Gonzalez this year and Martin Perez as stopgap pitchers too, because I think the future is really in Indy and Altoona. We'll see. We'll obviously see Skeens, but besides Skeens, you know, Braxton Ashcroft, this year in Altoona, you're going to have Bubba Chandler, Anthony Solomento. I like the way it's going here with the Buccos. I think they got a good shot at bringing some young players up. I know you don't like the word prospects. I get it. After 20-some years, this the situation. But another kid for Notre Dame, Jack Brannigan, scouts really liked him a lot this spring. I mean, I think it's not just the old Pirates. They have, like, it's not just if one or two guys doesn't make it. They have a lot of quantity in their farm system, and I attribute that to Ben. You know, Tamar Johnson, a scout told me the other day, it's all Tamar Johnson this spring, told me there's no way he'll play two more years of minor league baseball. This kid's ready to go to the big leagues in a year. So yeah, we'll find out.
I've heard nothing but good things about Johnson. They have a glut of people all of a sudden on the infield, you know, when you look at it. And they have Triolo who playing second base. And I really like his game there. I think he's he was a gold glove third baseman in the minors. There's no reason he can't be really solid defensively. I know he made an error in the first game of the year, but so what? Hayes made two last night, but I think it was more on the conditions than it was him. But I think Triolo eventually is going to end up being your first baseman. That's where I would have him slotted. I'm not sure about Roddy Tellez beyond this year. I think they want young guys who can field and hit. And if he shows he can hit, he may have a job in first base down the road.
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting situation. The thing I think people don't realize, though, is the Central Division. People say it's a weak division. I totally disagree. I think that Nick Kroll in Cincinnati's built a tremendous farm system there too. And I also like the kid Jackson Chiro. I think he's the best young player in baseball this year. You'll see Rookie of the Year maybe in Milwaukee. You know, the Cardinals spent a fortune in pitching this offseason. So I don't think it's a weak division by any means, but I think the Pirates are gonna be very competitive, and I'm looking forward to it.
Mark, all right, man. Have a good day down in FLA. Appreciate your call at 412-928-9370. Let's get to Brad in Johnstown, who joins us right now. Brad, what's up?
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to bring this up. I know there's been some new developments with it, but I really feel like Trevor Bauer is at least financially a low-risk, high-reward guy. Now, I know there's some concerns about his background and whatnot, some things going on.
That's true of Herman, too, and they brought him on with no questions asked. Aroldis Chapman's had some issues in his past, too.
And I agree 100% with that. And I kind of, you know what, maybe this is just thinking too much into it, but I really think, like, the teams in Japan or whatever would have probably pretty thoroughly vetted him as far as embarrassing a program. And I think a community like Pittsburgh, I know it's not quite the same as A.J. Burnett, but a lot of people really thought he was a big attitude problem coming into it, and they really embraced him. And I feel like kind of put him back on the right footing. I'm not a huge fan. I know there's some reports out of ESPN, but I don't think they've exactly had the best track record lately. So just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
Well, I would assign.
I would be a great thing.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I agree. If you're cleared of things, you're cleared of things. That doesn't mean your life should end. It looks like he's been blackballed from baseball altogether. Okay, he may have a history of not being a great teammate, but there are a lot of people in that mode in professional sports today. This is a no-risk one-year situation. He was willing to play for the minimum. He's a former Cy Young winner. I don't understand why. Do it. And if you have to trade him at the deadline, if he proves that he's really decent again and somebody wants him, you can get something for him if you don't want to keep him around. Or he could be a big part of your rotation. And again, it's a one-year commitment. I don't see any problem with that scenario. I think they should have done it. Got to go to a break. We have the counselor. We have Greg in Youngstown. We have Sean in Imperial. We'll get to your calls. Due for a break here. This is a Saturday edition of the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Nathan Haluschek's behind the glass. Taking your calls, 412-928-9370. It's 412-928-9370. A lot to get into. We have a lot of people on the line who want to talk. So let's go to the counselor joining us in the car. Hey, counselor, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Happy Easter, Bob.
Happy Easter to you and everyone out there.
Or Bona Pasqua in our native tongue.
There you go.
Anyway, I was going to tell you about the Pirates. I'm very impressed so far. The only thing I think they could do is Clevenger been signed. I thought he was still available.
I don't know. I know that I saw Montgomery sign the other day with Arizona, and I was hoping they would jump on him for 1 year, just because.
Yeah, well, Clevenger was 9-9 with a bad team, so I didn't know if he got re-signed either, but he was with Boston, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was my thing. So that was all. And I, now, you know, obviously, they got to improve a little bit in their starting pitching, but the way it goes, they didn't do anything extraordinary, so they're just going to have to live with what they got, unless Jared Jones pitches beyond his
Well, listen, they have other guys in their system who may surprise you and jump up this year as well. I mean, not just Skeens, but this guy Solomento is supposed to be pretty good. If, you know, they got Josh Fleming. He pitched last night out of the bullpen. He's really a starter. I was surprised they went with Falter over him. I thought they may have gone in that direction. Listen, it's early. I can't make any conclusions other than I thought they were going to be better than last year, and I stick to that by a couple of games. Whether or not, yeah, you know, they missed a wild card last year by 8 games. Can they compete for that? I don't know.
Yeah. I think they can. They get the pitching. That's probably the 99% of the
Yep. Thanks,
situation.
Man. I appreciate it, Counselor. I'll check on Clevenger to see. Let's go to Greg in Youngstown in the meantime. Greg is joining us here on the Fan Hotline.
Hey, Bob. Hey, how's it going? Hey, you know what? I like the hitting on this team. I like the bullpen, and the pitch starting pitching staff's a solid D. I mean, Keller's a third starter. He never pitches a full season. The rest of their pitchers are garbage who's starting. I'm sorry. And,
well, are you going to wait a little bit for Jared Jones? He's only 22.
A 22-year-old guy. I mean, he's 22. I mean, we don't got a Burnett. We don't got a Liriano. We don't got these kind of guys on this team. And let me make another point. Let me talk about the pitch clock for a little bit. When you're a starter, and I pitched, if you're a starter and you start hitting a rut, like you're not throwing strikes, and you know you got a pitch clock behind you, you're going to start throwing the ball. You're not pitching anymore. You're throwing it. And that's what happened to this guy last night again with his pitch clock. They can't step back. They can't get their head back.
Are you talking about A.J. Puck from Miami? Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about our pitcher last night. Same thing.
Yeah, but he did okay. He was fine.
No, these guys get in a rut. I saw he couldn't hit the strike zone in the end. They get into a rut. They can't step off the mound. They can't get their head together. They got this stupid pitch clock, which just doesn't even matter. I don't know why you even have this. And these guys start throwing the ball. And you start not hitting the strike zone. And that's a fact. Pitching is an art. It's not throwing a baseball. And this pitch clock, these starters just start become throwers. You're not becoming a pitcher.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's being a pitcher.
I think it's helped the game speed up, and it needed to be speeded up, to be honest. It was just dragging.
For who, Bob? Who?
Well, television controls everything, Greg. Television ratings were telling you one thing, and they were going to try to change it. And I also think it just got rid of a lot of the nonsense that you saw with guys stepping out of the box, resetting their gloves, you know, taking forever. It's unnecessary. And if you're a good pitcher, you'll adapt to it, and I think the good pitchers have adapted to it.
There's a rule in place that they could have given the guy a strike. There was a rule in place. They never. It's like everything in life. You don't enforce the rules that are on the books. You come up with these stupid rules like this pitch clock, and then it's now down to 18 seconds.
Well, listen, I have another problem. Thanks, Greg, for the call. I have other concerns. Like, I thought the other day, Nate, you saw this. The Pirates, you know, feel like they catch or block the plate in the opener, which is they wasted a challenge on it, for God's sakes. He was out by 6 miles. It was Michael McHenry back in that day where he's, you know, I don't understand the need to challenge that, and I certainly don't agree that if it was overturned, I would have just hit the ceiling. I was mad that it interrupted the game at that point. I'm thinking that's a useless challenge because why? The throw is well ahead. There's nothing you can do as a base runner at that point. So he has to move out of the way so that the guy has a pathway to the home. Screw that. That's all BS. And then last night we saw the Hoskins incident at second base. Again, safety is taken over for good baseball. You're not allowed to do anything anymore because you're going to inflict pain on somebody. Well, you know, that's part of it. I just don't understand it. When the Pirates challenged, I was just shocked that they challenged it. But because there's a rule, the Buster Posey rule has been completely exploited in my view. I don't like it. I never did like it. I don't care about it. There should be collisions at home plate. I mean, you're trying to get there. The guy is trying to stop you from getting there. What are you supposed to do? Play Matador and just bring out this red cape and say, come on in, and if I tag you, maybe. If I don't, it's ridiculous. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Sean in Imperial, who joins us right now. Sean, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Appreciate you taking the call. First off, the other caller seemed a little angry about the new changes in baseball. I think it's been extraordinary with the new pitch clock and the change of the base size. I think it's just made it a lot more fun and fast. But what I wanted to focus on is, a lot of people are talking about the rotation being weak and our biggest, glaring point. And if you look around the MLB, there really aren't many bona fide aces. Cole's hurt for a while. He'll be out 2 months. Spencer Strider's an ace. But after that, you don't really have any of those sparkling gems. So I think Keller is more than capable of being the horse of the staff. So I think we could be surprised. We'll watch Jared Jones today. But I wanted to talk about first base. We have a traditional platoon there with Rowdy Tellez and Connor Joe. What do you know about the history of this front office trading prospects for talent now? And I'm thinking about Pete Alonso.
Well, I don't know what Alonso's salary is, so I'm not going to – I'd have to investigate that, but I'm sure he's making a ton of money. But, I mean, to get a bopper like that, I would do it. But, here's the problem, Sean. You mentioned traditional first base. That's the problem. I want someone out there every day. I want to get to a lineup that doesn't have platoons everywhere. That's the problem. I'm so glad that – not glad about Andy Rodriguez's injury, but what I am glad about is that paved the way for them to say Henry Davis is our catcher. Grandal got injured. He's just a backup, so is DeLay. Henry Davis pitch framed last night very well. He got a couple of pitches from Martin Perez that were out of the strike zone, and he turned them into strikes. I never understood why last year they didn't get more opportunity behind home plate. Now, when Andy Rodriguez comes back, you talk about first baseman. Maybe that turns out to be your first baseman, either he or Davis, if they're not going to bring Triolo. If it's barring a trade, you're going to have to do it internally with somebody. I thought Connor Joe, by the way, played a very good defensive first base the first two games of the season. And thanks, Sean, for the call. I do appreciate it. Have a wonderful Easter weekend. In the meantime, Cole and Manaka, we'll be having you coming up. We got to take a break here. I want to remind you about the fan weather forecast, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. This afternoon, periods of rain. It could be in and out. It could be scattered. Who knows? Depends on where you are. Hopefully, if you're on a golf course, it's not going to affect you. High of 56 degrees. Tonight, a passing evening shower or two. Otherwise, considerable cloudiness, low of 43. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy on Easter Sunday with a high of 60. And I hope all of you have a wonderful Easter Sunday. I see Nate has left the building. Thank you, Nate Haluschek. And Joel Nelson is now in the hot seat behind the glass. We'll continue here. 412-928-9370. Your take on the Pirates. The Steelers readying themselves for the NFL draft. The Penguins in Columbus tonight digging out of a massive hole. I don't think they can do it. And I wonder about the future of this team. And how does Kyle Dubas try to make them, while being competitive, in sort of a retooling situation? It's not an easy assignment with so many no-trade clauses, with so many high-end contracts. We'll talk about it when we come back. We're right here. It's a Saturday, and it is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Nathan Haluschek's behind the glass, taking your calls. 412-928-9370. It's 412-928-9370. A lot to get into. We have a lot of people on the line who want to talk, so let's go to the counselor joining us in the car. Hey, counselor, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Happy Easter, Bob.
Happy Easter to you and everyone out there.
Or Bona Pasqua in our native tongue.
There you go.
Anyway, I was going to tell Eric about the Pirates. I'm very impressed so far. The only thing I think they could do is Clevenger been signed.
I thought he was still available.
I don't know. I know that I saw Montgomery sign the other day with Arizona, and I was hoping they would jump on him for 1 year, just because.
Yeah, well, Clevenger was 9-9 with a bad team, so I didn't know if he got re-signed either, but he was with Boston, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was my thing. So that was all. And I, now, you know, obviously, they got to improve a little bit in their starting pitching, but the way it goes, they didn't do anything extraordinary, so they're just going to have to live with what they got, unless Jared Jones pitches beyond his
Well, listen, they have other guys in their system who may surprise you and jump up this year as well. I mean, not just Skeens, but this guy Solomento is supposed to be pretty good. If, you know, they got Josh Fleming. He pitched last night out of the bullpen. He's really a starter. I was surprised they went with Falter over him. I thought they may have gone in that direction. Listen, it's early. I can't make any conclusions other than I thought they were going to be better than last year, and I stick to that by a couple of games. Whether or not, they missed a wild card last year by 8 games. Can they compete for that? I don't know.
Yeah. I think they can. They get the pitching. That's probably the 99% of the
situation. Yep. Thanks, man. I appreciate it, Counselor. I'll check on Clevenger to see. Let's go to Greg in Youngstown in the meantime. Greg is joining us here on the Fan Hotline.
Hey, Bob. Hey, how's it going? Hey, you know what? I like the hitting on this team. I like the bullpen, and the starting pitching staff's a solid D. I mean, Keller's a third starter. He never pitches a full season. The rest of their pitchers are garbage who's starting. I'm sorry. And,
well, are you going to wait a little bit for Jared Jones? He's only 22.
A 22-year-old guy. I mean, he's 22. I mean, we don't got a Burnett. We don't got a Liriano. We don't got these kind of guys on this team. And let me make another point. Let me talk about the pitch clock for a little bit. When you're a starter, if you're a starter and you start hitting a rut, like you're not throwing strikes, and you know you got a pitch clock behind you, you're going to start throwing the ball. You're not pitching anymore. You're throwing it. And that's what happened to this guy last night again with his pitch clock. They can't step back. They can't get their head back.
Are you talking about A.J. Puck from Miami? Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about our pitcher last night. Same thing.
Yeah, but he did okay. He was fine.
No, these guys get in the rut. I saw he couldn't hit the strike zone in the end. They get into a rut. They can't step off the mound. They can't get their head together. They got this stupid pitch clock, which just doesn't even matter. I don't know why you even have this. And these guys start throwing the ball. And you start not hitting the strike zone. And that's a fact. Pitching is an art. It's not throwing a baseball. And this pitch clock, these starters just start become throwers. You're not becoming a pitcher.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's
being a pitcher. I think it's helped the game speed up, and it needed to be speeded up, to be honest. It was just dragging.
For who, Bob? Who?
Well, television controls everything, Greg. Television ratings were telling you one thing, and they were going to try to change it. And I also think it just got rid of a lot of the nonsense that you saw with guys stepping out of the box, resetting their gloves, you know, taking forever. It's unnecessary. And if you're a good pitcher, you'll adapt to it, and I think the good pitchers have adapted to it.
There's a rule in place that they could have given the guy a strike. There was a rule in place. They never. It's like everything in life. You don't enforce the rules that are on the books. You come up with these stupid rules like this pitch clock, and then it's down to 18 seconds.
Well, listen, I have another problem. Thanks, Greg, for the call. I have other concerns. Like, I thought the other day, Nate, you saw this. The Pirates, feel like they catch or block the plate in the opener. Which is they wasted a challenge on it, for God's sakes. He was out by 6 miles. It was Michael McHenry back in that day where I don't understand the need to challenge that, and I certainly don't agree that if it was overturned, I would have just hit the ceiling. I was mad that it interrupted the game at that point. I'm thinking that's a useless challenge because why? The throw was well ahead. There's nothing you can do as a base runner at that point, so he has to move out of the way so that the guy has a pathway to the home. Screw that. That's all BS. And then last night we saw the Hoskins incident at second base. Again, safety has taken over for good baseball. You're not allowed to do anything anymore because you're going to inflict pain on somebody. Well, you know, that's part of it. I just don't understand it. When the Pirates I was just shocked that they challenged it. But because there's a rule, the Buster Posey rule has been completely exploited in my view. I don't like it. I never did like it. I don't care about it. There should be collisions at home plate. I mean, you're trying to get there. The guy is trying to stop you from getting there. What are you supposed to do? Play Matador and just bring out this red cape and say, come on in, and if I tag you, maybe. If I don't, it's ridiculous. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Sean in Imperial, who joins us right now. Sean, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Appreciate you taking the call. First off, the other caller seemed a little angry about the new changes in baseball. I think it's been extraordinary with the new, you know, pitch clock and the change of the base size. I think it's just made it a lot more fun and fast. But what I wanted to focus on is, you know, a lot of people are talking about the rotation being weak and our biggest, you know, glaring point. And if you look around the MLB, there really aren't many bona fide aces. You know, Cole's hurt for a while. He'll be out 2 months. Spencer Strider's an ace. But after that, you don't really have any of those sparkling gems. So I think Keller is more than capable of being the horse of the staff. So I think we could be surprised. You know, we'll watch Jared Jones today. But I wanted to talk about first base. You know, we have a traditional platoon there with Rowdy Tellez and Connor Joe. What do you know about the history of this front office trading prospects for talent now? And I'm thinking about Pete Alonso.
Well, I don't know what Alonso's salary is, so I'm not going to – I'd have to investigate that, but I'm sure he's making a ton of money. But, I mean, to get a bopper like that, I would do it. But, here's the problem, Sean. You mentioned traditional first base. That's the problem. I want someone out there every day. I want to get to a lineup that doesn't have platoons everywhere. That's the problem. I'm so glad that – you know, not glad about Andy Rodriguez's injury. But what I am glad about is that that paved the way for them to say, Henry Davis is our catcher. Grandal got injured. He's just a backup, so is DeLay. Henry Davis pitch frame last night very well. He got a couple of pitches from Martin Perez that were out of the strike zone, and he turned them into strikes. I never understood why last year they didn't get more opportunity behind home plate. Now, when Andy Rodriguez comes back, you're talking about first baseman. Maybe that turns out to be your first baseman, either he or Davis, if they're not going to bone Triolo. If it's barring a trade, you're going to have to do it internally with somebody. I thought Connor Joe, by the way, played a very good defensive first base the first two games of the season. And thanks, Sean, for the call. I do appreciate it. Have a wonderful Easter weekend. In the meantime, Cole and Manaka, we'll be having you coming up. We got to take a break here. I want to remind you about the fan weather forecast, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. This afternoon, periods of rain. It could be in and out. It could be scattered. Who knows? Depends on where you are. Hopefully, if you're on a golf course, it's not going to affect you. High of 56 degrees. Tonight, a passing evening shower or two. Otherwise, considerable cloudiness, low of 43. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy on Easter Sunday with a high of 60. And I hope all of you have a wonderful Easter Sunday. I see Nate has left the building. Thank you, Nate Haluschek. And Joel Nelson is now in the hot seat behind the glass. We'll continue here. 412-928-9370. Your take on the Pirates. The Steelers readying themselves for the NFL draft. The Penguins in Columbus tonight digging out of a massive hole. I don't think they can do it. And I wonder about the future of this team. And how does Kyle Dubas try to make them, while being competitive, in sort of a retooling situation? It's not an easy assignment with so many no-trade clauses, with so many high-end contracts. We'll talk about it when we come back. We're right here. It's a Saturday, and it is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.